You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Hey, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. We live stream our second gathering. Would you give it up for those watching online right now? And so glad you joined us. And it's we stream into correctional facilities across the state of Alaska as well. And so, hey, a couple of things I want to highlight again. June 4th, it's just a few weeks away, Saturday, 4 o'clock, our groundbreaking on College Road. And a part of that's a water baptism. And so we're going to have two water baptism tanks, and we're just going to be dunking people. And some of you, you have some friends, you want to see them publicly held down for a long time because of their sinful life. No, just kidding. But if you might have whole families that want to be water baptized, sign up. It's going to be a lot of fun. And our thought there is we're not just breaking ground on a building. We're building the church. And the church is people. And we want to celebrate as a church, as a group of folks, and celebrate the life change that I think is a prophetic declaration that hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, will follow in water baptism on our new property over there on College Road. And so sign up. Let us know. Water baptism, it's on the worship guide here. Let us know. We'd love to help facilitate that. Hey, we're look at your neighbor right now. And look at them and say, aren't you glad you're sitting next to me? Look at your other neighbor and say, aren't you glad I'm between you and the other person? Man, my name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's just an honor to have you here. Today, we're in a series called Thinking for a Change. I heard someone say, well, I don't know who I heard say this. This says, if you keep your head when everyone else loses theirs, you'll stand taller than the rest of people. Okay, I thought that made sense. Didn't share it last service. Wouldn't have shared it this service if I'd have shared it last service. No. We're talking today, thinking for a change is how to change our thinking. We're not trying to get people to think for the first time or think for a change because you haven't been thinking for a while. But how do we change? Because I believe if we change how we think, we can change our life. I believe that with all my heart. Today and next week, we're going to deal with a topic that some of you, it's going to like, oh, it's raw. It's hitting you right where it's at. Others of you. Now, here's the deal. How many of you guys have hot sauce in your refrigerator? How many of you guys use hot sauce on cereal? Raise your hand. You don't. But how many guys, if you had taco food, you'd bring your hot sauce out? Or if I had eggs, I'd bring my hot sauce out. You know, my daughter added hot sauce last night to her macaroni and cheese, but we won't go there. That's just weird. Okay? She's related to her mother. But today we're going to talk about trauma, and I'm aware that if I talk about trauma, you might be like, I'm not dealing with trauma. Yeah, but your friend might be dealing with trauma, or your neighbor might be dealing with trauma, or you probably will deal with trauma in the future. And so I'm aware it's kind of like talking about hot sauce. You might not need hot sauce today, but you'll need hot sauce later on. You know, I don't take Tylenol every day, but there's days I take Tylenol, right? And so, you know, how many guys have allergies? There's days you're enjoying that allergy medicine right now, okay? But when it's 40 below, you're not taking allergy medicine for pollens, okay? But today we're talking about trauma, so today we're talking about kind of a rubric. When I say rubric, a basic building blocks, Legos, in essence, of how we think about trauma biblically. And next week, we talk about how to overcome trauma. Because I believe this with all my heart, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. We are overcomers. How many believe that? God can take crucifixions and turn them into resurrections. And so today, though, I kind of want to give you a biblical theology. You know, we have core values here, and our last core value is equipping for purpose. And I'm convinced of this. That this is an equipping for purpose message. If you're walking through trauma, it's going to give you a biblical understanding, filter, or lens through how to view your trauma. But it's going to give some of you the ability to know how to talk to your friends or neighbors or coworkers when they walk through trauma, which I think is important. God, the Bible has answers. And so I want to the great starting point for trauma is to talk about what is trauma. It's on your worship guide. It'll be on the screens here. But trauma is an experience of feeling up either overwhelmed or helpless or paralyzed or frightened or deeply by a deeply distressing event. It could happen from abuse, abandonment, mistreatment, betrayal, rejection. It looks like this: the death of a loved one, the unexpected death of a child, a miscarriage, a divorce, a deeply distressing event in life, maybe suicide of a family. My mom is 74 years old, and my mom still struggles with the suicide of her mother. Trauma shapes us. And so trauma is this thing an accident, a violent assault, you could be the victim of a crime. There's lots of experiences that can be traumatizing, but the type of trauma I want to talk today is very specific. It's when evil people do evil things to innocent people. So I want to narrow it down a little bit, but in every day in this world, there's evil people that do evil things to innocent people. And here's the reality: if we live long enough, trauma will impact all of us personally. Either we walk through it ourselves, or a loved one or family member, there's gonna be trauma that touches us. And so how do we understand trauma? Now there's lots of questions I think we have, like why? Well, why does a good God let bad things happen to good people? How many guys, that's a good question. Or another question is, why doesn't God just wipe evil out? If God's all powerful, then isn't he powerful to wipe evil people off planet Earth? And there's a few of us that probably nominate some of those evil people to be wiped off. And why doesn't God wipe away evil? And those are good, legitimate questions. But I want to define evil for a second, because I want to be careful. Before we say we want to wipe evil off planet Earth, I want to define it for a second, because what's evil? Evil is anything that opposes God, rebels against God, disobeys God, rejects God, or ignores God. Now, let me ask you a question here. Has anyone here ever rejected God, disobeyed God, ignored God? Guess what? We have all done evil. We've all sinned. Now, I'm not talking about, but I don't think all of us have caused trauma to people. So it's different. But here's the deal. Evil exists in this world, and if God is good and God's the opposite of evil, now see, a lot of people, this is a side point, but a lot of people say, well, Satan and God are opposites. No, they're not. God has no opposite. Satan is a created angel who's fallen. Satan's the opposite of an angel, a created being, but Satan is not the opposite of God, because God is the uncreated, all self-existing God. He doesn't have an equal on the other side. He's all powerful. But if God's all powerful and God's all good, then how come we have evil? And that's the part I kind of want to help us get our mind around today and give you some building blocks for our mind. How do we interpret? How do we filter? How do we look at traumatic experiences from a biblical perspective? And I remember once someone say, well, you know, the devil, you know, you take the D off of devil, you got evil. If you take the E off of evil, you got vile, because that's the devil, he's vile. You take the V off of vile, you got ill, because the devil, if you're around him long enough, will make you ill. You take the I off of ill, you got L. That's where the devil's going someday for eternity, L. All right. That's the extent of humor today. Kind of a heavy topic. But I want to jump in, and I want to talk about how to, again, overcome evil. And the reason why this is important is because our beliefs, what we believe, shape our thoughts. And our thoughts shape our feelings. And our feelings shape our actions. And our actions change our destiny. So we can feel, I don't feel good. So if I go do this, I'll feel better. No. You don't feel better till you think better. You change your belief. The belief changes your thoughts. Your thoughts change your feelings change your actions. Your actions change your destiny. So if you want to change your destiny, you got to change what you think. That's why this is so important for us to understand, what does the Bible say about trauma and evil? So number one, if you're taking notes on your worship guide, number one, evil is the downside of our free choice. Evil is the downside of our free choice. I remember hearing years ago that every strength has a corresponding weakness. In fact, there's a great leadership book I read years ago called The Dark Side of Leadership, and it kind of unpacks leadership on a corporate level and corporate leaders that are dynamic. And how can you be so dynamic and yet have such dark sides to us? You know, how many guys think work's a good word? How many think work's a good thing? How many guys value hard work? How many guys think hard work's value? Well, how many want to know? You could take hard work. There's a dark side to hard work called workaholism, right? And so there's rest. How many want to know there's a dark side to rest? It's called lazy. Anything has a dark side. And so the dark side of free will or choice is evil. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, I love how Paul, Romans is a deeply theological book and unpacks some concepts to kind of get your mind in. Like, sometimes you read the book of Romans, you feel like the guy on Men in Black that takes on the farmer's body, and he's like, you know, anyone know what I'm talking about? Igor, whatever his name is, I don't know. It's a long time ago. But sometimes, Romans is an incredible book you wrestle through. But in Romans chapter 5, it says, sin came into the world. So sin, check this out. Sin came. Sin entered the world. Sin wasn't always here. God made Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were made in the image and what? Likeness of God. The likeness of God. In other words, they were without sin. They were made in his image. They were also like him. Before the fall of man, before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no sin in this world. So it says this, sin came into the world because of what one man did, Adam. And with sin, say with sin, came death. Now let's unpack that for a second. There was a day there was no sin on planet Earth, but when sin came into the world and sin came into planet Earth where we exist, when he's talking about world, the cosmos, what we call the world, sin came into our world when what? When one person sinned, but sin didn't come by itself. Sin brought with it what? Death. That's why I think that's why in Ezekiel, the prophet said, the soul that sins, it will die. He wasn't trying to scare us into living, right? He was saying, when you sin, sin brings something with it called death. What did God tell Adam and Eve? The day you eat from this tree, you'll surely die. Now, is God like some of our parents who say, oh, don't do that, and if you do that, you're going to get in trouble, and then he backs away and goes, oh, hell, maybe I shouldn't have said that because I don't want to back it up. No, God doesn't have to do anything, because in the moment people sin into the world, and what happens when sin came, brought what with it? Brought death with it. Sin creates lots of problems too. It didn't just bring death with it, But I'm going to kind of list some things that you would not find in the Garden of Eden prior to the sin of man. There was no decay. There was no damage. There was no debauchery. There was no debt. There was no disabilities. There was no deceit. There was no defeat. There was no defiance. There's no defilement. There's no dehumanization. In the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place until sin came into the world. And when sin came in the world, it brought with it death. That's why we have delusions, dementia, depravity, deprivation, defiance, dictators, disunity, disloyalty, disgrace, depression, destruction, devastation, desertion, distress, disease, divorce, dysfunction. None of those were in paradise. But friends, when sin came into the world, sin brought with it evil. That's why our world suffers. And God gave us a choice. God knows the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The dark side of sin is a whole lot of problem. Trauma is the dark side of sin, the dark side of evil. The dark side of free choice, excuse me. Free choice is that, how many, my wife loves me not because I put my foot down and say, you're gonna love me today, woman. Now, if I did that, she probably would like, No, she wouldn't. Yes, she would. Yeah, actually, she would. I shaved my beard off this week and left my mustache. There's a reason I don't have a mustache today. Not because I didn't want a mustache. I thought I looked fly, like all the guys in the Air Force are walking here with mustaches. Oh, but my wife says, no, you look like a child molester. Get that off now. The dark side of free choice right there. You know. Number two, if you're taking notes, everything on earth is broken by sin and evil. Say everything. Everything. Everything on earth is broken by sin and by evil. Nothing on planet earth works correctly all the time. The only thing we possess on human, on planet earth that's perfect is God's word. And it's perfect all the time. It's not defiled. It's not distorted. We distort it. But the word of God is perfect. That's the only thing on planet. Our relationships are broken. Hey, a couple weeks ago, our weather was broken. Our economy's broken. Our bodies are broken. You know, our digestive systems can be broken. I this winter, I was getting up to my roof to do something. I forget what I was doing. You know how it rained, and you know, so I got up, and I've got some cathedral ceilings, and I was shoveling some, and I have my ladder on my against my roof, and I get up there, but I turned 50 a year ago, so it changes ladders, okay? I get up there, and one foot's on the roof, and one of the foot's on the ladder, and all of a sudden my ladder goes, "See ya." And I got a choice, okay? I don't have enough time to get the other foot up on here. So I turned real quick. I broke my fall. I'm kind of limping a little bit. One of the doctors in the church says, well, you know, Mark, under 50, they would assume it's a snow machine accident or a four-wheeler. But since you're over 50, it's a ladder. Because guess what? Sin broke everything on planet Earth. Nothing correctly works correctly all the time because we live in a world broken by evil and by sin. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, don't be surprised when you have trials on earth. Another version says, don't think it's strange when you have fiery trials on earth. Don't think it's weird. Don't think it's abnormal. It is, don't be surprised when you have trials on what? Earth. I can tell you right now, there won't be trials in heaven because there is no trials in heaven. The only trial in heaven is that appointed day of justice that we're all going to pay for. We'll talk about it later. There's a day of judgment where we're going to be on trial for our life and our choices. But there's no trial. In fact, Jesus kind of dials it down a little bit. There will be more and more evil in the world. Because there's free will, evil has a way of kind of expanding. How many guys have watched the news lately and realized our world's different than it was when our grandparents were kids? And the reason why is because there's more and more evil. Why? Because the enemy wants to up his ante. He wants to cause more trauma. He wants sinful people to get more expanded in their ability to sin. And they keep downloading upgrades to sin. It says this, it says there are more and more in the world, so most people will stop showing love to each other. In other words, there's more evil. Where? In the world. On planet Earth, the cosmos we live in. That's why there's relational tension. But here's something I want you to memorize. People are broken. How many believe sin breaks us? People are broken. Sin is evil. But God is good. I want to say that again. We ought to understand this. People are broken. Sin is evil, but God is good. Which brings me to the third point, principle here is, and this is something that for some of you are raw right now, you're like, but God grieves when he sees us hurting. God grieves. Sin and evil cause pain, and evil people cause pain. And it caused suffering and it causes hurt. But God has emotions. You might say, well, Mark, prove to me God has emotions. Well, okay. How many of you guys have emotions? Raise your hand. You have emotions. If your hands aren't raised, wow. How many guys, you're like, how many of you guys are the people like when you're typing looking for the emoji that's perfect? And so we all have emotions. And here's what I know. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So guess what? God has emotions. We have emotions. His emotions, the only difference between his emotions and our emotions is he has emotions not broken by the fall of man. So God can be angry but not sin. God's character encompasses how he operates with the emotions he feels. We are human in a broken world, and there's times our emotions, they're real, but we shouldn't act on what we feel. Right? So God has emotions. And here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says God gets angry, that God grieves, God laughs, God has sorrow, God's sad, God has emotions. He's an emotional God. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, the world's violent, and God comes down to Noah and it says, in Noah's day, the Lord was deeply grieved. God was deeply grieved. Old Testament. That he'd made man and his heart was filled, say filled, with pain. He didn't just feel the grief, but he felt the pain associated with grieving. He was filled. He has the capacity to feel when he sees things he doesn't like. And he sees things we're working through. The shortest verse in the Bible is in John chapter 11, where Jesus shows up and his friend Lazarus has died, and it says Jesus wept. And that word weep, literally in Greek, means he felt it on the inner being. Like literally it tore him apart on the inside. Now, why is that important? It's filled with importance because it shows that God grieves. That God, when he sees people in pain, he grieves too. Now, here's a profound verse that I want to share with you that says, in Isaiah chapter 63, in all our suffering, he as God suffered too. In all our sufferings, he too has suffered. Some of you might need to, if you're walking through a difficult time, write down on your worship guide, he suffers with me. You are not out there on an island by yourself. And for him, he understands. He doesn't just understand, he suffers with you. He suffers with you. When I suffer, God suffers. You might say, the greatest example of God suffering with us is Jesus, his suffering on the cross. Jesus was innocent. He was tortured. He was abused. He was publicly humiliated. And then he was murdered. That's evil. And his father had to watch the whole thing. But if we suffer, the Bible says he suffers too. In fact, it goes on in Psalms. In Psalms 56, there's a typo. I think it says 55. Psalms 56, verse 8 says, you, Lord, keep a record. Say record. Of all. Doesn't say only the ones he wants. All my sorrows. You collected all my tears in your bottle. You list each one in your book. He sees all my sorrows. He collects all my tears. And he lists every one of them in my book. He not only has seen every fallen tear from your face, he's counted them. That's how much he cares about you. you're listening online and you're here today and you're walking through an evil person did an evil thing to you and you're innocent, God sees and God knows. He's compassionate. God feels your pain. And someone, Rick Warren, who pastors Saddleback Church in Southern California, once was asked, his son had mental illness and actually committed suicide several years ago. And someone says, where was God when your son committed suicide? And Rick's comment was the same place he was when his son was crucified. He was weeping and grieving with me. I don't have a God who does not see and understand. He's bottled every tear. He's written that he knows the feeling. He knows what it's like. God is a compassionate God. And he had not just seen every tear you cried. He's counted them. He's recorded them. What does that mean? It means he pays attention to the detail of your pain. Pays attention. Maybe you're in tremendous pain right now and you think God doesn't care. Oh, God, or God doesn't even know. Oh, he knows and oh, he cares. And he more than knows. He's been keeping a record of everything. He's keeping a track of it. God says, I'll suffer with you. God grieves with us. He pays attention to your pain. And you might be going, well, if that's the case, then how come he allowed it to happen? Evil is the dark side of free will. But this is what I know. The next point, number four, if you're taking notes, God will judge everyone justly. See, sometimes we think that's not fair what happened. I've been in some counseling appointments over 25 years of ministry where I don't think I could see anything more evil. And then evil is evil. And evil people do evil things to innocent people. But here's what I know, God will judge everyone justly someday. God is a God of justice. Evil will not get away with being evil forever. There's a day of reckoning for evil. And that day of reckoning is called the judgment day. See, God is not just a loving God full of grace. God is a God of what? He's a just God. And he's both loving, but he's also just. God cares about justice. God cares more about justice than we do. You might say, well, I want justice for what's done to me. Believe me, there will be justice. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of judgment. How do I know that? Because it says this. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, God has appointed, say appointed, that every person will die. In other words, there is an appointment for every one of us that we can't call in sick for, we can't cancel, we can't make an excuse for. There's a day. Guess what? That the milk carton expiration date on every one of our lives will come up. We're not promised tomorrow. There's a day of appointment where every single appointment, we're not going to be late for it. It's going to happen. And it says on that day when you die, and after that day that's been appointed for us, they'll face judgment. What does that mean? That every single evil act done by an evil person, they will give an account that day. There's a day of accounting that God in his history has already penciled in. The psalmist says that God's recorded every day and he's written what's going to happen every day. God knows. You can't mess with that appointment. And you might say, well, Mark, does God know everything that's ever happened to me? If it happened, why wasn't he there? It seems like no one knows. It's the only people that know is the people that were perpetrated or the victim or the evil person. And here's what I know. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. Nothing can be hidden from God. Everything. Say everything. So nothing can be hidden. Everything and all creation is exposed to his eyes. And each will give an account of our lives to him. Here's what I know, that nothing's hidden, everything is seen, and there's a full accounting for everything that's ever been done. If you're a victim, I want to give you, it might not help that, like, for you to see the accounting happen, but there will be an accounting from a just God who knows, and he's recorded every tear. He knows every wrong that's ever happened, and there will be a day of accounting for that. I said, Mark, it's still, there has to be evil. The dark side of free will is evil. In God's justice, nothing, everything will have full account. That's justice. That's the justice part of God. That's why we need salvation. That's why we all come to him when we're still alive and say, God, there's a day of appointing where I'm going to give an account for my life. And that's why we all at some times bow our heads and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The Bible says he's Lord. There's a day of accounting. Nothing's hidden from his eyes. God sees it all. God sees it all. He knows it all. Evil's a downside of free choice. Everything on earth is broken because of sin and evil. God grieves when he sees sin and evil and how it hurts us. But God's going to judge us someday. And lastly, number five, if you take notes, God can bring good out of bad if we trust him. God can bring good out of bad if we trust him. Now, here's the deal. Only God can do that. It's not a big deal to take good out of good. We as humans can take good out of good, but to bring good out of bad, that's a sovereign thing only King Jesus can do. Only God can flip the script. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. God specializes in taking crucifixions and turning them into resurrections. He takes tests and turns them into testimonies. He takes messes and puts them into messages. Paul himself was in a difficult situation. He said, man, I'd rather be dead in heaven right now. But if I remain alive, it means fruitful service. But he says something. He's in a Philippian jail, jailed because of it, because he'd been beaten and left for dead at different times. And he says, everything that's happened to me has served to advance the gospel. He says, everything. I want you to think about this. Jesus was crucified on a cross, right? Between two thieves. Two pieces of wood, and he was nailed to the cross. He was innocently murdered. He was then buried, and those two pieces of wood killed him. I think the devil was so happy when an innocent guy was murdered instead of a guy that deserved to be on the cross, but he didn't realize that God put him on the cross to touch our lives, that we could forgive him. Because he was sinless, he could forgive us of our sins. But you know what? Those two sticks have been beating the devil up for years. What the devil meant for harm, God turned for what? The saving of many souls. I remember Elizabeth Jacober. She was a youth leader of ours in Las Vegas when we were youth pastors. She'd had seven abortions. She lived a pretty sinful life prior to coming to know Jesus. When she met Jesus, her life was transformed. She got married, she had a couple of beautiful daughters, and she became a youth leader of ours because she was so, she wanted to make sure that other young ladies didn't make the same choices that caused so much pain for her. And so she taught a purity life group. She took hundreds of girls in Las Vegas, Nevada through a purity life group. Hundreds of girls. You know what she was doing? She was taking that stick. The devil thought, oh, I'll beat you up with abortion. Oh, you'll never be worth anything. And you beat her. Ah, look what you did. Made another mistake. Got pregnant. Bam. Yeah, just abort the baby. Not bam. And devil been beating her up with abortion for years until she realized, hey, God healed me. God has forgiven me. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm going to beat the devil up now. Because what devil meant for harm, God meant for good. What all things happen for the good of those who love Christ. Now, I'm not saying what happened to you was good. What happened to you was evil. But you can flip the script. And I believe this. I believe where we've been the most hurt, where we've been the most wounded, when we're healed, we're the most dangerous. Yes. The most dangerous. We're the most lethal toward the devil. I've walked through some severe rejection from my father. And the devil, what he turned for all, man, I've had some conversations with people and seen God do some restoration because where I was the most wounded, I could be the most healed. I don't know where you're at today, but I want to pray over you. Next week we're talking about how to overcome. overcome. Say overcome. We're not talking about how to get past it and got through it. We're not talking about how to overcome. How can we have God help us overcome our trauma? How can we flip the script? How can we become the healthy people? And for you melancholics, I didn't get through all my notes. You can go to the YouVersion Bible app and get to them. We're going to hit them next week as well. But I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're walking. Trauma is a raw point for you right now. Number one, I'm sorry. I wish this was the Matrix and I can give you the red pill or blue pill and it goes away. But I know this, we can take it to Jesus right now. And by the blood of Jesus, he can begin to heal. He can begin to restore. And God can help you become an overcomer. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room, online right now? I want to pray over you right now. You're walking through trauma, walking through a difficult time. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring restoration. And Lord, those right now that need wisdom to know how to navigate tomorrow, this week, the next step, you give them strength right now, Jesus. God, you bottled up every tear. You've written down everything in your book. You know what, you suffer with us. You know the details of our pain. Would you heal right now in Jesus' name? Now maybe you're here, maybe you're online and you're far from God. We always tell people True North, it's as easy as ABC to begin a relationship with Jesus. It's to begin one. You then have to live it. But if you're here and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, it's as easy as A, admit you've sinned, B, believe he died on the cross for your sins, and C, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. And to confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you've never prayed that prayer, listen online, you're in this room, auditorium, I'd like to pray with you. Just pray this prayer sounds as I pray out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross for my sins, so please forgive me today. Please be my Savior and my life leader. I confess you as the Lord of my life. Help me serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.